And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating the people, the places, the history, the culture, and events that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That is exactly right, Fred.
And we want to remind people to go visit us at fredandjeff.com. You can listen to this show, and you can listen to all sorts of older shows. There's also links to community event calendars and other fun and exciting things. Actually, tons of pictures, too, of things we've gotten ourselves into in as of late.
That's true.
Well, you know, the Orion capsule came through Tucson at the Pima Air Space Museum, so there's a picture of me out there with the capsule.
Yeah, that's very good, Fred.
Well, there's other, I mean, there's just cool stuff that's going on in Tucson.
You know, there are a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Southern Arizona. So why don't we kick that off?
Well, you know, today, if you go to the Padres game, and the Padres are still playing through August.
Right.
But if you go today and you bring a church bulletin from your church, or I think, you know, maybe if you can just show up to a church and pop in for a bulletin and take it to the ballpark, you get a discount on your tickets.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Awesome.
So you can have your salvation and ball game all in one day.
Well, we're still on our march to a million. You know, get a million rear ends through the door at the Padres game. That'd be awesome. Remember earlier in the year when Donovan and Mike Fader came in and said, if just everybody in Southern Arizona came to a Padres game one time,
anything in Tucson,
they would be wildly successful.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Science Sundays is continuing at the Children's Museum of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And also Summer Sundays at Gallery Row up at Skyline and Campbell. They're having all sorts of fun arts activities up there.
That's right.
Now, here's something that's going to be really exciting. August 10th, 11th, and 12th, Vigilante Days at Tombstone.
Oh, the town too tough to die.
Yeah, they're going to have gunfights. There's
really?
Yeah.
There'll be people out there fighting with guns.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, they're gonna have.
You mean reenactments of what happened at the OK Corral?
Yeah, gunfights.
Right.
Just like gunfights at the OK Corral.
Perfect. Entertainment.
A 5K run, I think.
10K. 10K on Sunday the 10th. There'll be a 10K run on Sunday the 10th.
Oh, okay. I'll do five of it.
I'll give you $100 if you do five of it.
You will?
No.
No, I have this on tape. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I said no.
So, in August 3rd, which is also coming up, something that's going to be very exciting is the Sonoyta Wine Crawl.
Oh, yeah.
Just the sound of that sounds exciting. You know, we had our good buddy.
Yeah, Fred, what's the name of our good buddy?
Oh, God. It just slipped.
Bob Webb.
Bob Webb, thank you.
Such a good buddy, I forgot his name.
You know, I have these moments where things just, like, fly out of my brain.
Uh-huh.
Even if I have notes in front of me, which I do. You know, Bob is one of the guys who started bringing wine to Arizona. And
really?
We're going to actually have him on the show in the future. But
how did he get it here?
In a truck. Barrels, you know, no, actually barrels in a truck.
Actually, that is one of my favorite shows. This is a reason to go to fredandjeff.com and find the Bob Webb show, because Bob talks about making alcohol underneath his family home back in the 40s, and all of a sudden there's all these people standing outside waiting to buy their jug of booze
from Bob,
and he's like
he's in junior high school, yeah,
12 years old, and his dad's like, all right, what is going on around here? So at an early age, he's running an illegal distillery under his parents' house. That's a great show. But yeah, the wine crawl, and then there's more stuff going on in Sonoyta too.
Yeah, and if you go to fredandjeff.com, hit on the current events button. We'll guide you to how to get to all those places.
Right, the Sonoyta Wine Crawl and Harvest Fest at Sonoyta Vineyards. Tons and tons of stuff. And then finally, before we take our first super quick break, don't forget there's the Marana Bluegrass Summer Concert coming up. And it's in a couple weeks. That's Saturday, August 11th. So lots of fun things going on here in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, second Saturday downtown's coming up. All right. Sorts of things.
Yeah, so get out and meet your neighbor. Make your neighborhood and your city a great place to live. That's the way to start, folks. And stick around here on the Fred Jeff Show, because we'll be right back with our guest today.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Why are we proud to live in Tucson?
Because our four-star spas, guest ranches, and resorts attract admiring visitors from around the world.
And our original restaurants draw rave reviews across the country.
Because the Science and Technology Park is creating a cutting-edge biotech corridor.
And the University of Arizona leads the nation in optics and astronomy.
And because the nation's best gem and mineral showcase brings us thousands of visitors every year.
This is my Tucson, and together we thrive.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger, cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
It's never been easier to enjoy downtown, even during construction.
Downtown.
And with more than 15,000 parking spaces, it's a breeze to find a spot.
Downtown.
While you're downtown, you can enjoy everything from world-class cuisine to great casual dining. Have a night out on the town with the best nightlife around.
Shop at amazing stores with unique fashionable goods that you won't find anywhere else in town. Take in a show downtown.
Explore dozens of galleries.
Downtown.
And museums support your local
downtown.
Businesses see more at
downtowntucson.org. That's a better ad. People will love that. People will go, did you hear that dumb ad for downtown? Right, see if you can do something like that, because we'll run that and pay for it.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we're back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all things Tucson and Southern Arizona, the people, places, history, culture, and events. And we want to invite you to visit us at FredandJeff.com. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
That's right. And sign up for our newsletter, because if you got our newsletter on Thursday, you'd know who we're talking to today, right, Fred?
Yes, they would. Well, we actually have a whole bunch of people with us. Folks from the Sonoran Arthropod Studies Institute. Emily Francis, we're going to talk to her first, is director of the Institute. John Rhodes is the education outreach person, and we have one of the volunteers, Mary Starr. So, Emily, let's talk to you a little bit. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up in Tucson and looking at bugs?
I came to Tucson back in the 70s with my family, my young family, and worked a lot of various jobs in between taking care of the kids. I was working for a tax company and met.
Are you a CPA?
No.
Accountant?
No, just a tax preparer.
Just a tax preparer.
Would the tax company be the IRS?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Is that a nice way to say you're a Fed?
Yeah.
But anyway, the founder and director of Sonoran Arthropods Institute came into the office to have his taxes done, and we got to talking, and I told him what my different talents were as far as office work went, and he hired me after the tax season to work in the office at Sonoran Arthropod Studies Institute, way out in the middle of the desert in beautiful Tucson Mountain Park. It was the best job that I've ever gotten. And
wait a second. Time out.
Yeah?
Why was it the best job you've ever gotten?
Because I wasn't in a cubicle in the middle of the city.
Ah. Okay, tell us about that. So he said, come to work for me, and he had what, like a trailer or something in the middle of the
mountains? The facilities for SASE, which we call Sonoran Arthropod Studies Institute.
Right.
SASE is located in the old Orcutt ranch house in the middle of Tucson Mountain Park. It used to be a dude ranch. It was built in 1930. The owners of the property, when they passed away, their children decided to sell the property to Pima County. So we're renting the property from Pima County. Thank you, Pima County.
And how long have you guys been out there?
1991 was when the facilities were first refurbished to house the Discovery Center, the Arthropod Discovery Center. I started working for them in 1999.
And when was SASE founded?
1986.
Okay, so it's a relatively new organization.
Yeah, pretty much. When it first started, it was called the Insect Zoo, and it was located down on Stone Ave.
Very cool. The Insect Zoo.
Yeah.
And how long was it on Stone Avenue?
It was there for...
counting on your fingers.
About 5 years, yeah.
5 years. I wonder, there are probably a lot of our listeners out there that remember the Insect Zoo.
Uh-huh.
That's great.
Yeah, the school groups would go there, and you know, it was very convenient, it was a lovely facilities.
And so you guys just outgrew the facility?
Not really. There were some changeovers in ownership of the building, and it became financially unavailable.
Got it. And that's when you guys struck up a deal with Pima County.
That's when Steve asked Pima County if he could rent the facilities out at the old Orcutt homestead and fix them up for his for SASE.
Now, who, Steve is the founder. Who's Steve?
Steve Perkle. He started it in 1986 with the Insect Zoo, and it's always been passionate about building things and making things happen, and did a very good job and built up a really good membership, and was able to keep SASE going for a long time.
Now, this wasn't like a flea circus, was it?
No, not at all.
No, fleas don't have joints, do they?
Yes.
Yes, they do, and they are arthropods.
Okay. Fred. Good job, Fred. But it was not like a flea circus, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was. He had some really wonderful exhibits, so that people could get a really good close-up view of the critters that we share our lives with here in the desert.
That's sweet.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. What was his background?
He used to. His background is in biology. He's very, very familiar with all of the critters here in the desert, from the tiniest insect to the largest mammals. He worked for the Desert Museum for a long time, too.
Oh, wow. Now, is he still around?
He moved to Costa Rica. He comes back here every so often. He's going to be back here this summer to join us at the Invertebrates in Education and Conservation Conference being held up at Los Ventana Canyon.
Cool, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
That is very cool.
So if people were to go out to the Institute now, out in Tucson, beautiful Tucson Mountain Park, mm-hmm. what would they expect to see?
We're open to the public on the fourth Saturday of every month. And on that day, the gate in Gates Pass Road is open, mile and a quarter dirt road coming up to the facilities. We have a classroom, a library, a very nice pinned collection. We start out the day with a hike, depending on how warm or cool it is. That depends on how long the hike goes. And then we have speakers come in that talk about anything from building a bee habitat in your backyard to butterfly gardening to how to keep termites out of your house, things like that.
So, building a bee habitat in your backyard?
Yes.
That's crazy. And so yeah, this was yesterday. You guys did this yesterday.
Yes.
Since we're here on a Sunday morning,
yes.
You guys were out there yesterday.
Yeah, we were out there yesterday.
And what was the topic yesterday?
There was a nature hike, and there is a talk about spiders.
Spiders.
Spiders are very prevalent this time of year. And then there would be a potluck lunch because there's no restaurants near the middle of Tucson Mountain Park.
Right. And then in the afternoon, after lunch, we bring out the critters and line them up. We keep them in boxes so that people can stick their noses and or their hands in the box. There are a lot of insects that are arthropods that are touchable. And we talk about their natural history and even introduce people to creatures that they didn't know inhabited the Sonoran Desert.
Now the voice that you've been hearing interject a couple times about the flea circus and the potluck is John Rhodes, the education outreach person for SASE. Because we haven't talked to him. What are you laughing about?
The potluck.
Well, you know, food's important to people.
Yes, it is, Fred. It's how we survive.
So John, let's talk to you for a little bit. How did you get, well, you know, Jeff always likes to, he always rags on me that I never get this right. So let's talk about you first.
Once again, he didn't get it right, because I like to rag on him about everything.
Didn't get what thing right?
Who are you?
My name is John Rhodes, and I do the community day for SASE. I usually get the speakers, or am the speaker, and lead the hike. And I bring some of my arthropods along with the arthropods that SASE has and Emily have.
So you have a private collection.
I do. And then I usually have a live arthropod habitat workshop where people can make their own habitat and take their very own arthropod home with them.
Okay, so wait a second.
Sounds like a mason jar.
Yeah.
It could
in
be
my
something
house,
like that.
Sand with a bug in it. And you. But when I wait a second, time out. You okay? What my real question is where are you from? Tucson.
I was born in Seattle, Washington, but I've been in Tucson long enough to say I'm from here almost. I came here in 1968 to go to the University of Arizona, so that's a while.
Did you? And what did you get your degree in?
I got my first degree there, a Bachelor of Science in Biology and Chemistry, and a Secondary Education Teaching Certificate. And later I went back and got a master's degree in general biology and teaching and teacher education.
So you've been a teacher?
I have been a teacher. I was a teacher for 32 years in Tucson Unified School District, a science teacher.
Wow, good for you. Congratulations. That's a long time.
It was a great career, and I could still be working, actually. I'm not that old. I'm sort of old, but I just had a restless feeling that
Everyone
I wanted to try something else, and so I retired it. 53, and I've been working with insects pretty much since then.
Now, someone could make the... No, I'm not going to make that joke, that you've been working with insects for a lot longer. But they got it. They're laughing. Okay. So, you worked for TUST for a number of years.
Yes.
Did you have anything to do with bugs in TUST?
I did in a small way, but I was a general science teacher, mostly teaching general science and life science, and so insects was a pretty small part of what I did, and not what I envisioned doing when I retired exactly, but not that far off, and it was just a series of opportunities that presented themselves.
That's great. That's great. So you are kind of doing your life's work now.
I've enjoyed the time since I retired from teaching, but I'm still teaching in a lot of ways. I still visit the school where I used to teach at Utterback Middle School, and I've been doing things related to education. I, right after I retired in 2004 from TUSD, why I was in the right place at the right time. I was offered a job working for the Tucson Botanical Gardens. They were starting a new exhibit called Butterfly Magic, which was a live walk-in tropical butterfly exhibit.
Absolutely. We're very familiar with that.
Well, I was the curator of that for 5 years. In fact, when they offered that to me, I'd made a pact with myself that I wouldn't get tied into anything permanent right away, since I worked at one school for 31 years. And I didn't think I had that much time left in me, so I told them I would do it for 5 years, and I stuck with that. But while I was working there, I had already known about SASE and been a member of it, and I started going to SASE events that they had, and I met Emily and other people at SASE, and I thought that there could be a good collaboration between the Botanical Gardens and SASE, and that's sort of how I ended up there doing the community day, because I thought it was about insects, and butterflies are insects, even though people sometimes don't think of them that way because they're colorful.
Right. Right. We like them.
And gentle.
Right.
And they don't
scare
bite
us.
So that's how I got involved with SASE. And I worked there at the same time I was working at the Tucson Botanical Gardens. But I stuck to my 5 years and retired from the Tucson Botanical Gardens. And now Elizabeth Willett is the curator of Butterfly Magic, which is still going great, although it's a winter-only exhibit, so it's not going at the moment. So that's still going great, and I work for SASE and do other things related to insects, pretty much. That's just because those were the opportunities. I've always liked biology and had studied insects to some degree as a teacher and prepared some students for some entomology competitions in the Science Olympiad, and I'd met Steve Perkle through that.
That's great. So once again, we find people who are demonstrating this. Tucson's a pretty small place, pretty small town.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I want to say real quick that SASE is very, very lucky to have John doing our outreach programs and our community day. It's just wonderful to have him working for us.
Thank you, Emily. I'll pay you later.
Right. Well, we have a couple minutes left before we have to take our hard break at the bottom for the news. And I want to do two things because I know you've got one last question before we go. And that is, folks, remember at the end of the show, we give away a fabulous prize for a trivia question. And earlier we were talking about where SASE originated.
Right.
And the bug zoo on Stone Avenue. So remember that.
Insect zoo.
The insect zoo? What did I say? The
in
bug
1986.
Zoo? 1986. Don't listen to me. So 1986, the insect zoo on Stone Avenue. So that might come back in a little bit, right?
Yeah, right, or something else.
Or I mean, something
I've
else.
Been writing down a whole bunch of stuff about a dude ranch in the Tucson Mountains.
That's right.
Started in 1930.
Yep.
So, you know, one thing we didn't talk about, and we're going to diverge from SASE for a second, we have a salsa competition.
Oh, my gosh.
And we've actually thrown down the gauntlet. We don't know who we're up against yet.
Yeah, and who have you thrown down the – okay, exactly. We don't know who
we're
up against at all.
We know Elise Carlotta Flores over at El Charro.
Right.
Is going to be – you know, we're going to take her out.
Yeah, we're going to take her off for a cocktail. See if we can buy her off.
But we have this little contest going, and we've asked our listeners to help out with recipes. So if you send us your recipe and we use it, we'll bring you to the event. We'll give you some fabulous prizes, and you'll help us crush one of the
all of the participants. Absolutely.
At this year's
and I got to be honest with you,
Noche
folks.
Noche caliente for St. Luke's Home.
Right, and I have to be honest with you, folks. All of the recipes that we've gotten in right now, we're not picking any of them. There have been some real, and we appreciate you guys, we really do, but holy mackerel.
Yeah, we like being eclectic.
Yes, but salsa is not made with chili. So, and I mean like chili beans. So that one was just horrendous. But thank you anyhow, Michael. We appreciate that that email.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
Yeah,
but we also have the secret ingredient from Tucson Botanical Gardens.
Oh, that's
providing
right.
us with some special chilies.
Yeah, we don't win because of our secret ingredient. It's a rigged event.
It is a rigged event.
But the folks at St. Luke's Home wouldn't do that to us.
No, they wouldn't.
So all right, folks, we've got a lot more on the show today. We've got a lot more bug talk. So stick around here on the. Well, we do.
No, I want to learn how to make a beehive in my backyard.
I know. That sounds very cool. Very cool. So stick around here on the Fred and Jeff Show. We'll be back right after the news.
Mitt Romney says any public differences between the U.S. and Israel only embolden adversaries.
Speaking in the Old City section of Jerusalem, the presumptive Republican presidential nominee said he would never criticize Israel and would be a steadfast ally to the Jewish state. There were increased calls for gun control in the wake of the Movie House massacre in Colorado. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia says the Second Amendment to the Constitution does leave room for gun regulation, including a precedent from the early days of the nation that banned menacing handheld weapons.
There were some that were acknowledged at the time. For example, there was a tort called affrighting, which if you carried around a really horrible weapon just to scare people, like a head axe or something, that was, I believe, a misdemeanor.
Justice Scalia on Fox News Sunday. James Holmes, the accused Colorado shooter, appears in court tomorrow. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
We'll have continuing shower and thunderstorm chances as we continue this very busy weather weekend. Today's high temperature, though, markedly cooler, looking for 91 degrees in the thermometer. As we go into tonight, middle 70s will be found, and the thunderstorm chances continue Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday, with highs in the middle 90s. For 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM, I'm meteorologist Aaron Brackett.
Jim Ronstadt. Over 100 years ago, my grandfather established Ronstadt Hardware in the heart of the Old Pueblo. The Ronstadts were a pioneer family during the growth of a fledgling city, and his store was founded on hard work, craftsmanship, and good service.
This is Jeff Ronstadt, and I am proud to carry on the family tradition with my dad at Ronstadt Insurance. In these trying economic times, you may have many questions about your health care and what's on the horizon. You may be asking questions like, how do I enroll in a Medicare plan and how much will it cost? Are my prescription drugs covered? And what will my out-of-pocket cost be?
If you are confused about Medicare, call us at 721-4848 and we will help you make a confident decision about your Medicare benefits. We are insurance agents licensed by the state of Arizona and we would be honored to assist you.
That's Ronstadt Insurance. Call us at 721-4848. We are pioneers in good service.
Are you planning a special event or celebration? Call Arizona Party Rental, the number one party rental company in southern Arizona.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. I figured since you can buy politicians so easily these days, why not rent an entire party? So I contacted Arizona Party Rental, and they said, that's not what we do. Well, guess what I found out? I found out they rent everything you need to throw a party. You know, I'm the kind of guy who likes getting married so often, it's good to know. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Now, every time I get married, I call on Arizona Party Rental. If you're like me and you say I do more often than Larry King, call on Arizona Party Rental. And unlike Uncle Sam, they understand what a tight budget means.
Thanks a lot, David. Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Do what Fitzsimmons does. Draw your own conclusions. Visit Arizona Party Rental today on Speedway and check us out on Facebook.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And welcome back. This is Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hola, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all the people, the places, the history, culture, and events that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so wonderful. We invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, and like us on Facebook.
That's right.
And today we're talking bugs.
No, actually, Fred, we're talking...
Say it.
Arthropods. Right?
Good.
Arthropods. Initially, I said I don't remember what I said.
Don't repeat it.
I can't, because then I'll be screwed up again. But arthropods. Yeah, right. Bugs.
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 And we have the folks from the Snorren Arthropod Studies Institute, also known as SASI. Emily Francis, who's the director. John Rhodes, who's the education outreach hero. And we're going to be talking to Mary Starr a little bit later on, who is a volunteer and
All-around good person.
All-around good person.
Yeah, and I want to just tell everybody out there that this is the SASI mission statement. It's a membership-supported organization fostering an awareness, knowledge, and appreciation of all nature through the study and interpretation of the vital roles arthropods play in the Sonoran Desert ecosystem. Emily, how's that?
Well, it's so many people that live, especially that live in the city and don't get a chance to get out in the desert very much.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What is an
arthropod?
Oh, an arthropod? Okay, there's three parts to an arthropod. Arthro means joint. So it's something that's got joints. It also has an exoskeleton, which mammals don't.
Now, what's an exoskeleton?
An exoskeleton is a skeleton that's on the outside of the body. The joints, an arthropod has jointed legs, thank you.
They have joints other places too. They have jointed body because they have their bodies made up of segments, which are kind of like joints
on the
body.
So it's segmented bodies,
jointed legs,
and exoskeleton.
I like to think of it as a suit of armor because, you know, the suits of armor made of metal, they have to have joints so the person can still move with this hard protective skeleton. But the exoskeleton is a big advantage to arthropods because it protects them like a suit of armor. And plus, for a small animal, it gives them an advantage in strength because when muscles attach to an exoskeleton, they can deliver more power than they could attach to an internal skeleton.
So that's how an ant can lift 10 times
its own weight. That's one of the ways. And the other is just a thing of size, that smaller animals can lift more for their weight. But yes, it is. Although exoskeletons don't work as well as you get bigger. That's why most arthropods, except aquatic arthropods, don't reach really huge sizes. You don't see like a blue whale arthropod. That would be a mammal with an internal skeleton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so types of arthropods would be spiders and scorpions and
ants,
and what else would we find in the Sonoran Desert?
Any insect, any arachnid, millipedes, centipedes. We even have crustaceans here in the desert.
Really? We have crustaceans?
Yes.
Are they
crustaceans would be a group of arthropods that usually live in the water, like shrimp, crabs, lobsters. But there are a few terrestrial isopods, they call them, that are a type of crustacean. Isopod means their legs are all the same length, and they would be things like pill bugs and sow bugs. The things that can roll up into a ball, roly-polies, are sometimes called pill bugs.
My kids love looking for roly-polies. They think that's the greatest thing to do.
They're not really big on the desert because those are crustaceans, and even though they've adapted to live on land, they still need to be in moist habitats. So in Arizona, those would live near water mostly.
Right, or in someone's garden.
Yeah, in your garden near the hose,
right,
where it's really wet.
Well, I have a little question because when we were kids growing up, after a rain, we'd see millipedes everywhere.
They call them rainworms sometimes.
Yeah, but as we've been getting older in the last few years, I've noticed that the number of millipedes is not, I mean,
has dwindled.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you walk outside the door and they would be everywhere.
Yeah, I think
now
that's
you walk
true.
Outside the door,
yeah.
It's like there's none, really.
Well, they're pretty susceptible to people. I don't think they, you know, people and millipedes get along that well. They're still out in the desert. I collected two the other morning because I was waiting for the rain. I didn't have any of my bug show, and so I had my eye open for them. But I remember as a teacher showing them to the students, and the kids were really excited about them because you can handle them. They're pretty docile, neat little creatures with all those legs to watch. Yeah, they're beautiful. So I showed one of them to my students, and the next morning, two of my boys came in late. And they came with a note from the office, and they had a gallon iced tea jar full of millipedes to the top.
Oh, my God.
And the whole school stunk because one of their defenses when they're treated roughly, like being stacked 1,000 deep in a jar, is they give off a bad smell and a noxious liquid. And so this gallon jar was full of that, and it was not, they weren't quite as appealing as it was when we had just one.
So you said you have a bug show?
I do have a bug show called Bugging Out, or Sassy is the sponsor of this bug show called Bugging Out, and it's a live bug show, and we come to schools and we go to community events. And it started at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, but it's now a part of Sassy. And it's really great. We have like 25 different live exhibits, all live, no pin bugs in it, all living things. Some of them you can even handle, although some it's probably better not to, since we have scorpions and centipedes. And
so give us an idea of what you can handle. I mean, you could handle a millipede.
Well, yeah, millipedes would be a good example. That's why I was happy to find two the other morning, because they make a great thing that if you handle them gently so you don't aggravate them and make them give off a little noxious secretion from the top of their legs. They have little glands and they have a lot of legs, so you don't want to do that to them.
Wow.
So, we have sometimes praying mantids. We're just about to renew our collection of walking sticks, which people love to handle those. And
when you say renew your collection, does that mean that the walking sticks are all gone right now?
I had a collection of them before, and they were very popular in Bugging Out, but they died out. They don't live that long, and usually I would reproduce them, but Catherine Bartlett at the Desert Museum has a good collection of native walking sticks, and she's offered to share some with me. So, I'm going to try to keep those going, because they're a really nice hands-on thing. And I think that's a key to getting people to appreciate arthropods, is once they have one in their hands and can see it, walking sticks and praying mantises have that little head that can swivel on a neck, kind of like a human-like. So anthropomorphic, people identify with them, and when they have one on their finger, they really can get over a fear of arthropods, which people have.
Absolutely.
Well, something like a praying mantis, too. It looks kind of vicious.
It does, and I was afraid to handle one, because I've seen, they are predators. I've seen them catch a butterfly and eat its head off, and then the wings and the legs fall down, and they ate it. So that's not exactly something you want to handle, but I learned from experience that if a person handles them, just let them walk on you. A lot of the arthropods that might even seem a little intimidating can be handled.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually go to or collect praying mantises and put them on my plants.
Yeah.
Because they take
care of the aphids. They're very nice. People love holding them. And when we have babies, a kid with a tiny baby praying mantis on their finger, they love it.
That's very cool. So how do people get to you to get Bugging Out to come to them?
Well, Sassy has a website, and they can sign up on the website. And I have a phone number. They could call me. I don't know if we give a phone number on that.
If you want to, sure.
Yeah, sure. I used to worry about giving my phone number because I thought you'd get too many calls. But it doesn't seem to be a problem. My phone number is 520-444-2724. And Bugging Out can come to you. We do schools mostly, but we do a lot of other things too. We started out for community events at the Tucson Botanical Gardens, where if you have a big event, we can set up some tables and people just walk up and we show them the bugs.
So is there a minimum number of folks that you will come out to educate?
No.
Really? So,
yeah, if Jeff wants to have you come over to his house and show his kids some bugs.
Yeah, if you've got the money, we've got the time.
And what does it cost to get you to come out?
We do charge for it. Usually it's $150 is the starting price.
So it costs something,
but it's reasonable. And for a small thing like a birthday party, we might go less than that even.
Well, that's great.
And it goes to support Sassy.
Yes, and we have three people usually come out, and you'll make a habitat, and everybody who comes can take something home with them, a live bug. So it's a lot of fun.
Give us the phone number again.
It's 520-444-2724.
Or you can call Sassy's number,
which Emily will give you.
520-883-3945. And these programs can be tailored for your needs. If you're a gardening club or a hiking club, or a fifth grade teacher, and you have specific things that you need your class to have, the programs can be tailored to fit your needs.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, we have to take a quick break, last break, and we'll come back with the rest of the Fred and Jeff Show, so stick around.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
Shelby, how does Five Star give back to its customers?
Existing monthly pest control customers who refer a friend to us receive a discount on their next service.
How about your current termite treatment customers?
When a customer's home is treated for termites, they refer a friend who has their home treated, they will receive an additional year of service on their termite contract.
Wow, that could add up to over $1,000 in savings.
Yes, it can. Log on to our website for details on our customer rewards program.
Five Star, the natural choice. 886-0045, fivestartermite.com.
When Jeff and I are looking for a good cigar, we head over to Anthony Cigar Emporium.
That's right, Fred. They have a great selection, knowledgeable staff, a comfortable environment. It's the perfect place to buy a cigar for any time.
Three convenient locations, one at Oracle and McGee, one at Crossroads Festival at Swan and Grant, and their new location at Williams Center at Craycroft and Broadway.
Come on over to Anthony Cigar Emporium, get your cigar, and you might even run into Fred and I, and you can tell us why you love Tucson.
Women Investing, an award-winning comprehensive financial services firm, offers customized programs designed to help grow and conserve your wealth. We encourage you to explore our website at powerwomeninvesting.com and learn more about the services we provide. If you would like to make an appointment, call us at 571-9053. That's 571-9053.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson's News Talk FM.
And we are back. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronson. I'm here with my little brother, Jeff.
Hello, Tucson.
And we're celebrating all the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson, Southern Arizona so wonderful. We invite you to visit us at fredandjeff.com. Follow us on Facebook and like us on Twitter.
I got to tell you, during the break, yeah. I was on the Sassy website, sassyonline.org. Here's the coolest picture. It's the preliminary, when you hit the...
The preliminary sketch?
Yeah, of a beetle hauling some people off in a carriage. Emily, who came up with this logo?
That logo was designed by Jim Melly. He is an artist at the San Diego Natural History Museum, and he's been coming to our Invertebrates in Education and Conservation Conference for a very long time, and this is our 20th anniversary, and we thought that it would be really special to, instead of having bugs in captivity, we would have entomologists in captivity.
That's sweet.
That's very cool.
Yeah, because one of them's holding a butterfly net. So Emily Francis, the director of the Snorin Arthropod Studies Institute, also known as SASI.
Right.
Since we're talking about the conference, it's coming up next week.
Yes, it is. It starts on the 31st and goes through the 4th. We've been going for 20 years, started in 1993, and basically it started out to bring people together to learn how to husband critters in captivity so that...
You mean how to marry them?
Husbandry? Husbandry means, you know, taking care of them in captivity so that they stay healthy. And they can be used in exhibits and education and zoos and insectariums, butterfly houses, teachers' classrooms, things like that. So
that's very cool. Yeah. And that's what you guys continue to do to this day?
And that's what we continue to do, yes.
And so you're collaborating and sharing all of the new techniques?
New techniques, yes. And it's gotten to the point now where it's built to the point where we're sharing ideas about education and conservation also, as well as husbandry.
That's great. Now, this conference, is it open to the general public?
The exhibit hall is open to the general public on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Okay. So this next week, yes.
If people would like to actually be a part of the conference, they need to register for the conference. We start out in the morning with paper sessions on Thursday. And in the afternoon, we have a variety of workshops and field trips.
But Los Ventana, so you'll have some beautiful field trips up there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have some really, really good fun up there. There's a lot of trails leading off from there. It's easy access to the Catalina Mountains. So there'll be some There'll be some nice field trips. But the field trips are for registered conference goers, not for the general public.
What if there's a guy skulking behind about 10 feet behind, just, you know.
We'll call the cops.
Well, Fred will be spending the night in jail.
That was my plan.
So, John, you have, and the conference is very important, but what I want to get to right now is how just regular Tucsonans can come and enjoy the services that you provide.
Well, the best way is to come to our Community Day, which is the fourth Saturday of every month, except December. Don't show up on Christmas. Oh. We don't have it then.
Okay.
But the fourth Saturday of every month, we're open to the public. It's free. We do accept donations, but you can just come out, spend the day or spend a part of the day. And we have a regular kind of pattern where we have a nature walk in the morning, a talk on some entomology related topic, something about bugs. And then we have a potluck lunch, and we usually have plenty of lunch. So even if you forget to bring food, don't worry about it. We've got it. My wife, Mercy, usually prepares the basic lunch, and the neat things that people bring just
good
add to it.
Cook.
Oh, very nice.
And then after lunch, we get out all the bugs that we have. I bring the ones from my bug show, Bugging Out, and Emily has a collection at Sassy, and we bring them all out, put them on tables, and walk around and look at them, and really give people a lot of time to enjoy them and get explanations of what they're interested in, and some of them are okay to handle. When that's done, we have a live arthropod habitat workshop where you build a habitat and take an arthropod home with you, and we try to have different things each time. We also gear the afternoon activities from lunch on, especially so they're appropriate for children. So you could bring your family or your kids out there, although adults usually enjoy it too. Like last Saturday, we had what are called green fig beetles. You might have noticed these things flying around Tucson now. And they're really fun to keep as a pet for a short time. You can feed them fruit, like a little piece of peach or fig is what they're often named for. In the wild, they actually eat prickly pear or the sap from desert broom, but they like sweet liquids. So you can feed them a little piece of peach. You can even tie a thread to their leg and have them fly in little circles. They'll fly for about 5 minutes and then they get tired and land, and you can, if you want, you can feed them and they'll refuel and they'll take off and fly again.
Oh, that's awesome. I remember hearing stories of our dad.
Yeah, you can do that. A lot of people
do that with Palo Verde beetles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can. They have more menacing jaws, but these things also fly really, really nicely, and you can keep them feeding them peach for, it's best probably just to keep them for a few days and then let them fly on, you know, and just complete their little buggy lives out there in the wild.
Now, our last guest is Mary Starr. And Mary, you were, you're kind of a product of these events that are held out in Sassy, aren't you?
The Community Days.
Right.
The Community Days. What, do you remember what the talk was at your first Community Day?
I do. It was walking sticks. Fascinating little creature.
Now, and is that what hooked you into becoming such a big fan of Sassy?
Definitely, because what I would see was, you'd see people or kids of all ages, as they'd approach the walking stick in question, you'd see them hesitate and go, oh, I don't know about that. But then you'd let them, John would let them maybe walk on their hand a little bit. And I watched them go from to aw within 5 minutes. And it was great to see that transformation.
That's very cool. So now tell us why you've come along today, because you've got a specific role you're filling.
Right. I'm a CTA, which is a certified tourism ambassador for the city of Tucson. And what we do is we try to keep up on everything happening, things of interest in and around Tucson, and let people know about it. Kind of like a concierge.
So you're a concierge of Tucson.
You bet.
How did you do that? How did you become that person?
I started to go to classes for being a CTA, because there is a course that you have to go through, and you're certified by the Convention Bureau. So usually people in my capacity would work at a hotel and, you know, being an actual concierge, but we had people in all sorts of service industries, if you want to call it that, cabbies and docents and so forth and so on. And I love to work with people, and I enjoy getting the word out about interesting things, and Sassy was one of those interesting things.
And did you know about Sassy before you became?
A little bit, just a bit.
And how did you find out about Sassy? Do you remember?
I saw it in the Caliente. In the section about things going on for the weekend, I always look and see what's going on. Again, it's one of the things we do as CTAs, plus I'm always interested in things to do in and around Tucson, and that's how I found it, and I went out there and had a great time.
Very cool. Okay, so John, you guys, when you do your fourth Saturday events, is there a cost to participate?
No, it's open free to the public. And so all you have to do is a little bit of a drive. You go out through Gates Pass, and we're located just before the T-turn with Kenny Road on Gates Pass Road. To your left would be Old Tucson. To your right is usually a locked gate. But on the fourth Saturday of each month, it's an open gate.
It's open.
And you can just drive on in. It's a one-lane, two-track, you know, one track for each tire type road that leads up a mile and a quarter out to beautiful Sassy headquarters in Tucson Mountain Park.
Oh, that's fabulous. That is really, really cool.
Just to go there is worth the trip.
Well,
just to be there in the middle of the desert.
Absolutely. And Emily, you guys, since this is a free program, how do you guys support yourselves?
We're membership supported, and we are so grateful to the members that they've just been loyal over the years. And I want to thank everybody that's a member of SASE for continuing to support us.
And how do they support you? They support you financially, but are there like annual dues?
Annual fees vary. We have starting at individual at 25, family is 40, contributing is 100, and if you are a professional, if you're in the field professionally, there's a professional category also where you benefit by getting a 10% discount on registration for the conference.
Well, that's
every
great.
Summer.
Now,
that's great.
We've been talking to John Rhodes, who's the Education Outreach Director for SASE. We have Emily Francis and Mary Starr. Now, we have like literally 2 minutes left, and I'm trying to, I really want to know if we can learn how to, in 2 minutes, learn how to make a bee hive in the backyard.
Well, a beehive wasn't what our last activity was, but for the take-home habitat, a couple of months ago, we had bee habitats. But it was a little bit different from a beehive because it turns out that not all bees live in hives, Fred.
Yeah.
Some of them do, but some are solitary bees, and some live in the ground, some live in holes in wood. What we did in this workshop was we had a bunch of workshop stuff out there for woodworking, and we had some big chunks of wood, some 2 4x4s, and we would drill holes in them because a lot of the bees, like leafcutter bees and these solitary bees, each female bee makes her own nest, and she uses a hole in wood, usually eaten by a wood-boring beetle. But in this case, we drilled the holes.
Oh, so they don't make their own holes. They go and look for...
Exactly.
For
and so they would provision that hole with little cells. And each cell, they would have some nectar and pollen made into a little gel. And they would lay an egg on it. And that would develop into a new bee. So that's what we did. And it was very successful. People's bee habitats were filled with cells.
Actually, out at the conference this year, we are going to be having a vendor that designs very creative and beautiful bee habitats for your garden. So if you're interested, come on out to the conference and check out the bee habitats.
That's cool. All right, we have 30 seconds left, and I just want to let everybody out there know that if you email Fred at fredandjeff.com, the third email gets a fabulous gift. I don't know what we're going to give you. Probably a dozen roses from Mayfield's. It might be a cool T-shirt from your event. But send Fred an email saying, hello, cool show. And you guys, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, this was so much fun.
You guys are the reason that Tucson's a great place to live. Thank you so
Jeff.
Much.
Thank you, Fred.
Mary, keep up the good work on being an ambassador. You're doing a great job.